Well, good morning, God morning, great morning, and welcome to Declare Victory. I'm your announcer, Timothy Alexander White, and we're so glad you could join us. Today, you will hear our daily declaration from one of Declare Victory's very own God Chasers, empowering, encouraging, imparting, and inspiring you to live your best life now. So grab a notebook and pen. It's sure to bless you. Please don't forget to submit your prayer request and praise reports on our app or website. We have scheduled calls 5 nights a week, Bible study, men's group, marriage matters, singles, divorce, and more. Check the app to find the call that's best for you. Don't forget to share the call information with a friend or loved one. It's sure to impact their life. We're not a church, just a bunch of radical believers that know that miracles happen when we pray. We hope you feel at home. Now sit back, relax, and enjoy the call. You're now in the hands of your host for today.
Hello?
Well, apparently there's no hostess for it this morning. Does anyone have the line up?
Yes, I have it here. Our declaration will be by Pastor Lavelle. Prayer warrior will be...
That's not it, Pam.
No?
It's,
okay.
That can't be it. Does anybody have the Saturday lineup? I'm sorry, Molly doesn't have it posted on the...
Oh, Saturday, the Saturday. I don't know what I was looking at Sunday. Okay, so Lisa will be doing the declaration. Eric will be the first prayer warrior, Diane the second, Barbara the third, and the closer will be Denise. Is that the scripture? Oh, I'm sorry. The scripture will be read by Janet Connor. I'll repeat that. The scripture will be read by Janet Connor. I'm sorry?
No, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Our scripture will be read by Janet Connor. The declaration will be done by Lisa. Our first prayer warrior will be Eric. Second prayer warrior will be Diane. Third will be Barbara, and our closer will be Denise, as I pass the call.
Good morning, all. I will be reading today from the New Living Translation, Psalm 15 in its entirety, and it reads as follows. Who may worship in your sanctuary, Lord? Who may enter your presence on your holy hill? Those who lead blameless lives and do what is right, speaking the truth from sincere hearts. Those who refuse to slander others or harm their neighbors or speak evil of their friends. Those who despise persistent sinners and honor the faithful followers of the Lord and keep their promises even when it hurts. Those who do not charge interest on the money they lend. And who refuse to accept bribes to testify against the innocent. Such people will stand firm forever. Everyone have a blessed day as I pass the call.
Amen. Thank you, JC, for that scripture. When you said 15, I don't know why, like 119, which is the longest psalm, it just popped in my head for a minute, but thank you for that scripture. Thank you, Mary, for greeting us this morning, and Pamela, the ram in the bush, thank you for stepping in and giving us the order of the call. Okay, so my declaration, I think I'll let you see if you can figure out the title. It's pretty obvious. And this is a little bit different, so, well, not really. I mean, anyway, here we go. Today is D-Day. No, I'm not having a problem speaking this morning. I didn't say the day. I said D as in dog or David. You'll understand it better by and by if you continue to listen as my share the play on the words that begin with D and the letter D. So the other night I was praying, asking God, what do you want me to share with your people? There were so many things I was thinking about, some declaration titles I had written down, but nothing seemed just right. What do you want me to declare, God? And as I was trying to decipher or distinguish exactly what Dad wanted me to declare unto you, I thought about it for a while, but nothing really came to me like, yes, that's it. Yeah, that's it. But I wasn't worried because God always comes through as I wait patiently, believing that he will speak to my heart because it's concerning you, it's regarding you. And so I just always have that expectation that God will show up and say something. So Wednesday night, I woke up out of a sound sleep, and I heard the word discipline. I sensed immediately it was for us, the Declared Victory family, or maybe it was just for me. I don't know. Well, I definitely know it was for me, but I went back to sleep. It took no time. I didn't know what I was going to discuss, but I was just determined and dedicated to God to carry out my duty for this morning, so let's do this. Everything we face in life provides an opportunity to demonstrate God's ability through our lives. We must never forget that God is able. Pastor Lavelle has been teaching about this. And I actually sat down and went to the back of the Bible and looked in the concordance and looked at all the times that it said that God was able. So I'm thinking about a declaration on that as well. It was about 7 or 8 places where it specifically said God is able. That's something we can never forget. As we live life, life can be difficult and demanding, so I wanted to share some D devices or tools that I think are necessary to help us drive or navigate through this life. If we're going to do it successfully, we must exercise discipline. Train, instruct ourselves to hear the voice of God, to study his doctrine or teaching. The word discipline seems like a dirty word with negative connotations, but the Bible describes that word, and the definition it gives for discipline is to chastise, instruct, or to correct. Discipline is also defined as the practice of training people to obey rules or a code of behavior, using punishment to correct disobedience. A way of behaving that shows a willingness to obey rules or order. Behavior that is judged by how well it's followed and a set of how well we follow a set of rules or orders. So notice how the word discipline directly is related to behavior, the way we act, the way of living, what we do. The word often depicted in the Bible as being directly related to our obedience and suffering the consequences of our disobedience. Think about all the stuff that the children of Israel had to go through because of their actual continual disobedience. Disobedience can be devastating. Think about Adam and Eve. Can you imagine a life without sin? We can't even blame them. Hold on. Because if it wasn't them, it would have been somebody after them. And if it wasn't them, it would have been one of us. Because of our free will and our obedience, our ability to choose, we have a way of not making the right choices sometimes. So discipline, I had to make that sound soft. We know, you know what I'm talking about. Discipline is not pleasant, but receiving it from God is definitely beneficial. He knows what and what it's going to take and exactly how much we can bear. And when he knows what it's going to take to get our attention, oftentimes it seems really harsh, but he knows. He knows. He knows exactly where we are and who we are. So Hebrews 12:5-6 says, And have you completely forgotten this word of encouragement that addresses you as a father addresses his son? It says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline, and do not lose heart when he rebukes you, because the Lord disciplines the one he loves, and he chastens everyone he accepts as his son. So don't forget, this word is a word of encouragement. God loves us so much, yes, right where we are, but enough to not leave us there. So what kind of good father or dad would see his child on a detour towards destruction and wouldn't disrupt their course by lovingly disciplining them back into the right direction? If we're going to do anything in this life with excellence, it's going to require that we exercise discipline. Discipline is often associated with the word disciple. A disciple means someone who accepts and helps to spread the teaching of a famous person. Jesus is the most famous person in the world. Notice, I didn't say known. I didn't say that they know him. He's not the most famous person known because many people know of him but really don't know him. We are all disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're commanded to spread the gospel, the good news, to follow after him, doing as he did, making our lives count and matter, praying without ceasing, loving without condition, walking out this faith walk, demonstrating his power, living and working in and through us. That all requires discipline to be a disciple. Requires discipline. Discipline is difficult to demonstrate on a consistent basis. It really is just a matter of doing it, but it's often easier said than done. Or maybe you start off right, or maybe we start off right, and then the devourer, you know who that is, he's there ready to distract and to destroy us. John 10:10a says that the thief comes only to kill, to steal, kill, and destroy. But the good part of it, that latter part of that verse, is it says, I have come that they may have life and have it to the full. So even though the enemy has come or the devourer has come to destroy us, Jesus came that we could experience a life full of purpose and meaning. For many, discipline is hard to do, whether you're trying to discipline yourself to go on a diet, changing what we eat and how much we eat to earn a degree requires discipline with the studying. Maintaining a job requires discipline and meeting deadlines. Buying a house requires discipline and saving money and paying that mortgage and keeping up the maintenance and doing that due diligence and whatever is required. Marriage requires discipline, staying committed to and putting your spouse's needs before the needs of your own. And then there's divorce that often happens as a result of not being able to meet an unrealistic need or try to make someone happy as they thought that marriage was going to do. Discipline in our singleness, saving ourselves for our spouse. Everything in life that yields a return requires discipline. I never really thought about it before, but as I was writing this, didn't know where I was going with it, but I was just thinking about it. Everything that requires a yield or a return or that gives us something, produces something, requires discipline, requires that effort. And so we have to discipline ourselves to do the impossible, the unthinkable, to do something that's never been done before. To simply do something will require discipline. If we're not disciplined, we will not be able to accomplish the task that has been set before us. Before we get to that point of discipline, you have to start with the desire to do something. We get that desire from God, those things that are pleasing to him. Psalms 37:4 says, take delight in the Lord, and he will give you the desires of your heart. I guess that's where we really need to start, with delighting ourselves in the Lord, finding joy in him, and everything about him should bring us delight. Psalms 97:10 says, let those who love the Lord hate evil, for he guards the lives of the faithful ones and delivers them from the hand of the wicked. And as we delight ourselves in him, he promises to give us those desires of our heart. He will place those desires in our heart that align with his will his purpose and the plan that he has for us, the one that's been designed. Now, whether he places that directly into our hearts is questionable. Reading commentary and looking at that, and I've said it before, and other people quote that as well. The thing is, if we have this mind that's in us, that's in Christ Jesus, if we keep our mind stayed on him, if we do have that mind of Christ, it's amazing how if we're thinking on those things that are lovely and good and of a good report, those things that are trustworthy, those things that we'll end up with that peace that he talked about us having. If we're keeping our minds in the place where it needs to be, if we're hiding his word in our hearts that we might not sin against him, if we are looking towards him, if we are doing those things, then there will be no way that we won't be attuned to or understand or know what his will is, because his will is his word. So as we are really being conformed and transformed to the image of his son, that delight will have no other course but to come out, will come in our hearts, because it'll be focused and centered around what pleases him. And then I'm reminded of that scripture. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. So we say we love God, but do we make the effort to keep his commandments? That's delighting in him and him getting delight out of us because of and through our obedience. So here's another D. As we walk, as we talk about this deed, particularly all the time, we have to make a decision to follow through, to do something, making a daily decision to follow him, to deny ourselves, dying daily, dying to this flesh. We have to decide if we're willing to pay the price, as I talked about on last Saturday, counting up the cost, making a decision to follow through with whatever it is that we desire to achieve. After we've made the decision, we have to be determined, no matter what, no matter what it looks like, no matter what people say, no matter what we're feeling, no matter what, we have to be determined with our minds made up to follow after God's direction. All we have to do is ask. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, he promises us if we acknowledge him in all of our ways, he said that he would direct our path. I'm determined, in spite of suffering loss, regardless of the pain and the separation, despite the desolation that I might experience, I'm determined even if I have to do it alone. We have to be determined, have to make up our minds to be a servant of God, to follow after him. Here's where we often experience the next D, that's desperation, as if our lives depended on it. There's a desire, a desperate need to continue. Quitting is not an option. So in the midst of our desperation, we develop determination, having that no matter what determination to keep going. If he doesn't deliver us, you remember the Hebrew boys, we know that he is able. There we go again. God is able. And if he doesn't, we will still not bow down our knees. We will not go back. We will not look back. We will not be turned into a pillar of salt. We will actually remain determined. So if we don't finish when or where we're expected, the good thing is we're not devastated, because we know that God is doing something. He is absolutely up to something. He is at work. If God did it before, he will do it again. And on the flip side, when the desire or the dream is realized, it drives us even further and harder to keep going. We become more devoted. The thing that we once saw as difficult is now doable. And not only is it doable, but we want to share that with all we can to duplicate the results in our lives, in the lives of people around us. There's some people around us that's dealing with the same distractions and trying to keep trying to be kept from their destiny. Exercising discipline is not possible without divine intervention from God. Through the power of the Holy Spirit and through people he sends into our lives who help us and hold us accountable during those times when we are facing those difficult situations. So I want to exercise or see the demonstration of God's divine power to be manifested in and through my life, which belongs to him anyway. Through discipline, after we've discovered the desires of our hearts and delighted ourselves in God, denying and dying to ourselves daily, making the decision to just do it, determined, devoted, and dedicated, desperate to achieve the will and display his glory, then we can declare victory as we are directed by God towards our destiny. I'd like to say I'm done, but I want to just all those D's. Hope it wasn't confusing. Hope it made sense. It made sense in my head. But the bottom line is that God is calling us up to another level in Him, a deeper level in Him, and that requires some discipline. And anything worth having is worth working for. And when we do the work, it's just going to require some of those D's I mentioned. But discipline is so necessary and so primary. Hope that helps somebody. As I pass the call off to Brother Eric.
Go ahead, Diane. I don't see Brother Eric.
Father God, I thank you for this day. I thank you for another day of your brand new mercies, oh God. I bless your name today, Father God, and I just thank you, Mary, for the greeting panel, for stepping in, oh God, and I thank you for Janet for that scripture and songs. Oh God, and I just praise you for Lisa for that awesome declaration that was so needed. God, help us to be disciplined today. Help us to make a decision and determine to follow you no matter what. Oh, God, I don't care how desperate the time is. Oh, God, help us to be committed and devoted unto you, oh, God. Father God, for you said that you are creator of all things. You are El Elyon, the God who possesses heaven and earth. God, and I thank you for being the creator of all things. I thank you, God, that you are not like man. God, help us today to dig deeper into your word, to do what thus says the Lord. Oh, God, I thank you today for family. God, I just lift up the prayer request that was mentioned, those that I heard and those that was unheard, oh God. I lift up Sister Julia's family, the Lancaster family, God, and the loss of a loved one. God, I pray that you strengthen them, oh God, and I pray, oh God, that you comfort them. You said those who mourn shall be comforted. God, I pray that you place your loving arms around them, that they will feel your love, oh God, for you are the God of love. And Father God, I lift up Sabrina's baby who's traveling. Oh, God, give them traveling grace and mercy. Place your hedge of protection all around you. And Gail, who's traveling, oh, God, I pray your protection over her. Father God, in this coming week as she travels home, God, I pray that you place your hedge of protection all around her, around the plane, the pilot. Oh, God, I thank you, dear Lord. And I pray, dear Lord, over Sue Hodges' family, who we pray for this week. God, I thank you for her life, oh God. Father God, and I pray over her family this morning, her daughter Raina and her sister Faye. God, I pray that you comfort them in her passing, oh God. And I just pray that you keep them, Lord God. Bless them, Lord God, and bless them indeed. Father God, I come today asking that you bless Dion, oh God, the visionary whom you've given the vision over this call. God, I just pray that you bless her from the top of her head to the soles of her feet. God, all that she's in need of, God, I pray that you meet every need, that she may be lacking nothing, oh God. Father God, I thank you for her obedience to your call, oh God. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just pray over her children and her mother, oh God. Bless them and bless them indeed. I pray for their health and strength, oh God. Their mindset, oh God. Renew their minds today, that their minds stay stayed on you. I pray that you bless her children as they go off to school each day in their uprising and their downsetting, wherever they go, God. Father God, I pray that you keep watch over them. Bless them and bless them indeed. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I pray over our families today, oh God. Father God, I pray that you keep the communication open in our families, oh God. Help us to be good stewards over our children, O God, to teach them, training them up in the way that they should go. For your word says that when they're older, they won't depart. God, help us to place your word and get the word in them, O God, by teaching them in prayer every morning, teaching them to study the word, O God, teaching them to pray unto you, O God. Father God, I lift up every marriage on this call and every marriage that's connected to this call. God, I pray for each union, O God, that you have ordained. Father God, for you are the God who ordained marriages, God. You said you hate divorces, O God. You ordained marriage to be among one man and one woman, O God. I thank you, O God, for every marriage on this call, that we keep the communication open in our marriage, O God, that we respect one another in our marriage, O God, that our marriage be unto you, that we surrender our life to you and submit to you, O God, that we may have blessed marriages, O God, and longevity in our marriage. Father God, I pray over our children that you just keep them, O God, bless them in their way, O God. Place your hedge of protection around them. For Father God, there's so much evil in the world, and we're asking that you care for our children, that you protect them, that they're taught your values, O God, and that they will live them out in their word, O God, doing what it is right, O God, by the sight of you. Father, in the name of Jesus, I just give your name to praise, O God. I pray for our neighbors. Let us love our neighbors. Your word tells us to love our neighbors as ourselves. And you said no one hates themselves, O God. Thank you, dear Lord, for having neighbors. Thank you for family. We pray for the workplace, and we thank you for our coworkers, O God, that we walk worthy of our calling before them, that they will see our light, that our light will reflect your image, O God. I thank you, dear Lord, for that which you placed in me, the love that you placed in me for your people, O God. Bless the name of the Lord, O God, for you are worthy to be praised. You said man ought to always pray. God, I thank you for placing prayer in my heart and concern for your people to intercede on their behalf. Lord, and I thank you for each and every one on this call, each and every one that brings forth the declaration. Bless them, bless their families, and bless them indeed, O God, that they want for anything, Lord, that they have everything they need in your word, God. You said you've given us everything to sustain life. Oh, God, and I bless you in the name of Jesus. I thank you, dear Lord, for allowing me to come into your presence this morning with my petition, oh, God. And, Father God, I thank you for Sister Barbara, who comes after me, and Denise Mallet-Smith, as she closes out. Father God, I thank you, and I praise you, and I give your name honor and glory today, for it's in Jesus' name I pray as I pass the call. Amen.
Hallelujah. So, Father God, we just continue in that vein, saying thank you, O God, again for this day, God. Thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy, God. And thank you for that word this morning, God. I thank you for JC who shared the scripture this morning, Lord God. But I thank you for the word. God, we thank you for you chasing those that you love, Lord God. We thank you that you've given us destiny, God. You thank you that you've given us direction, Father God. Lord, I just thank you for that rich word, Lord God, and help us to understand and know that discipline is absolutely for our good. Am I sounding muffled? Can you hear me?
Yeah, we can hear you.
Okay. So, Father God, we ask that you just continue to lead the way, Lord God. We thank you that you've called us into this walk, Lord God. We thank you that you've given us a mind to surrender our hearts and our wills and our lives to you, Father God. I am standing in the gap this morning for Gloria Taylor, Lord God, and for her son who had a stroke, Lord God. We know that we have not because we've not yet asked.
that you heal his body, Lord God, that you touch his mind in the name of Jesus. God, that not only that you heal him, Lord God, but that you give him back the activity of his limbs, God. We thank you, Lord, that we can speak to a thing that his body would line up with the perfect will of God for his life, Lord God, that you said, by your stripes we're healed. God, give his mother strength to care for him after his stroke, Lord God, to a 100% full recovery. God, I lift up Claire and Prentice to you this morning, that you continue to watch over and keep them in the name of Jesus. God, continue to give Claire everything that she needs for her husband, Lord God. Continue to give Prentice the mind and the strength and the will to fight, Lord God, to thrive in the name of Jesus. God, I want to lift up Brandy today, Lord God, that she would get some rest in the immediate future, Lord God. You know all about her, Lord God, and bless her for her sacrifice of love, Lord, for caring for her mother-in-law. Continue to watch over her and keep her, Lord God, and grant her the desires of her heart for her kindness, Lord God. Lord, I thank you for every single person on this call today, Lord God, for every person whose heart and mind is fixed and focused on growing and becoming, Lord God, being cultivated, development, Lord God, bless them for their sacrifice of time. God, for getting up on a Saturday morning, God, bless them. Lord God, for showing up on Thursday and Friday night, God, bless them. Lord, you know every need that they have, God, meet it in the name of Jesus. God, for every marriage connected to the call, God, continue to give it strength and tenure. God, for every single person on the call, God, continue to give us staying power in the name of Jesus. God, for our children, God, that we would live an example before them, Lord God, that they would know how to rightly divide the word of truth, Lord God. Lord, help us to just be consistent in all that we do, no matter what it is. Be consistent on our jobs, God. Be disciplined in our job. Be disciplined in our thinking, God. Whatever we do, Lord God, help us to exercise our right to obey you. God, we have a right to obey you, and you've given us everything that we need, not only to do it, Lord God, but to do it successfully. God, I pray for every pastor, every teacher. Lord God, I pray for the city of Richmond. And, Lord God, for all that's going on there. I pray for Vanessa Calloway and her evangelism efforts, Lord God. All of the different things that she's doing in the inner community to be a blessing to the city, Lord. Just PFBC as a whole. I thank you, oh God, for the effort for Miss D and for Pastor Bernstein. I can't remember the name right this second, God, but you know it's in Bethlehem Missionary Baptist Church for all that they're doing for the feet on the ground in the communities, oh God. So I just thank you, God, continue to give them strength, give them courage, give them direction and discipline. Lord God, and I bless you this morning. I thank you for an opportunity just to tell you God how great you are. We give you all the glory, all the honor, and all the praise. Did somebody jump in and close?
Father God, we thank you and praise you for this morning. We thank you, Lord God, for your kindness, your brand new mercies today. Thank you, Lord God, that each and every morning that we wake up, we can count on brand new mercies. They're not recycled. They come straight from you. God, we thank you that this morning is another morning that we chase after you, God. We want more of you, Father. Hallelujah. We're not looking for more things. We want more of you. We want to be closer to you. We want our life to be pleasing in your sight. We thank you, Lord God, for how you have blessed and sustained us this far. We thank you, Lord God, that we haven't had a lot of illnesses and deaths on this call within our families. God, we thank you for your keeping power. We thank you, Lord God, for our made-up mind to serve you. We thank you, Lord God, that it takes discipline to get up every single morning. It takes discipline to be focused as we listen to one another share on the line, as we take discipline to listen to the declaration and not be distracted by all of the things that are going on around us. We thank you, Lord God, that we carve out time first thing in the morning. We're giving you our first fruits in the morning. God, we bless you and we praise you. We count it a privilege and an honor. Thank you, Lord God, that we can run to you when we're uncertain. Thank you that we can run to you, Lord Jesus, when we're feeling ill in our bodies. Thank you, Lord God, that when our resources are running low, we can come back to you, our source, our Father, our friend, who's so faithful, the captain of our soul. God, we bless you this morning. We thank you, Lord God, that you keep us because we want to be kept. We thank you, Lord God, that we have a mind to dream because it is you who has placed the dream inside of us, Lord Jesus. We thank you and we praise you that every need is met. We thank you and we praise you that we don't go without. Lord God, all we have to do is call on you, for you promised to supply every need according to your riches and glory. Thank you for your word, which is able to instruct us, which is able to reprove us, God, which teaches us your way, God. And we thank you for the precious gift of the Holy Spirit, hallelujah, who comforts us, God, who leads us and guides us. God, we magnify you this morning. Thank you for your presence here on this line, oh God. Have your way this morning. Hallelujah. Have your way in our souls this morning. God, as we begin to take our phones off of mute, hallelujah, and we begin to celebrate you, our risen Savior, the Son that you sent to die for us, as we take our phones off mute, begin to give you corporate praise. God, we magnify you because you are great. We magnify you because there's none like you today. Hallelujah. God, we lift your name on high today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Oh, God, we bless your name. There's none like you, God, in all of the earth. Thank you, Lord Jesus, because you're faithful. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord God, for coming in, Lord God, teaching to every person this morning. Hallelujah. We will not give attention to that which seems that it's a little off this morning. God, but we'll get in the presence. God, we'll continue to praise you. We'll continue to bless you because you are worthy. Hallelujah. God, we bless you this morning. Hallelujah. Thank you for the work that you called us to do, God.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you for the disciplinedness with
yes, Lord.
To be able to carry out
the joining way, Lord God.
Hallelujah.
We will love you anyway, Lord God. Hallelujah. We will praise you, Lord God. Hallelujah. For this day, Lord God. Hallelujah. Another day, Lord God. Hallelujah. Another opportunity, Lord God. Hallelujah. To cry out to you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord God. Hallelujah. We love you, Lord God. Thank you, Lord God. Hallelujah. Another day, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Jesus.
Hallelujah. Jesus.
Hallelujah. God, to prepare the hearts and minds
for God.
Service.
Sometimes,
to prepare our hearts and minds for
we do, Lord God, is cry to you, Lord God.
Give them a mind that's so ready to mind.
Lord God.
Hallelujah.
Sometimes, hallelujah.
Give them a mind
we can do, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Not to perform, but to worship.
Jesus. In the name of the Lord. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, God. We bless you today. We pray for the children that are involved in their getting ready to football, Lord God. we ask that you would protect them while they're out practicing, God, and pray, God, that they would be balanced in their lives. Most of us speak today for balance, wisdom, understanding, God. We thank you that we don't do too much, and we thank you that we're not satisfied with just enough. God, we thank you for helping us find our balance, not just in our spiritual lives, but in every aspect of our lives. With our finances, with the way that we spend our time, God. Time is our most precious commodity. Once it's gone, we can never get it back. God, help us to be wise about how we spend it, about how we use it. Help us to take care of these bodies that you've given us, these temporary bodies that you've given us. Help us to be careful about what we eat, about how much time we spend on Facebook, social media, how much time we spend television, God. We thank you for balance in every aspect of our lives, and we understand that that's discipline as well. Now, Lord God, as we begin to rain the fall in, and as we begin to transition into the blessing of love, life, and victory, hallelujah, God, we thank you, hallelujah, Jesus,
hallelujah,
God, you're so kind to us,
Jesus,
God, you're so faithful to us,
yes, Lord.
We thank you, Lord God, that after almost 2 years, a year and a half, God, we are still here. Hallelujah. We thank you, God, that you made a choice for us, God. We're so humble. Hallelujah. We're so humble, God.
Hallelujah.
So many have fallen by the wayside. Some of them have excuses as to why they were called. They blame this person and that, but ultimately, it is them, God. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah. Breaking, Lord God. Hallelujah.
Voices against your judgment today, God. Hallelujah. We pray for Lisa today. Thank you for that word that she blessed us with. And every person that prayed this morning, God, we ask for God that you would give them an extra for
you.
God, that you would show up in a way that absolutely turns their heads and blows their minds, and they give you credit for it today. In the name of Jesus, God, we glorify you. We magnify you today. And if there's anybody that we miss, God, should we charge it to our heads and not to our hearts, God? Thank you that everything is met on today. Again, that there is no lack. We command our morning. We command it. According to your word, we command it. Hallelujah. No matter how the day started off, we command that today will be a great day, because this is the day that the Lord has made, and we'll rejoice and be glad in it. In the mighty name of Jesus, we bless your holy name. We give you thanks, give you praise in Jesus' name. Thank you, Lord God. Amen and amen.
Amen.
Yes.
Thank you.
Oh, Lord.
Hallelujah.
Thank you, Jesus. God, we just bless you today. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord God. I know that we did not have a host, I don't believe, this morning. I'll just kind of jump in so Lisa won't have to. Just thank God for the prayer and all those that participated this morning. Good morning. Good morning to everyone. If there is anyone that called in late, well, first of all, if there are any new first-time callers, anybody that called in, this is your very first time, or maybe it's not your first time calling in, but you just feel an unction. You just feel like you want to say good morning to us. Now is your time. All right. If there's anyone that called in after we got started and you'd like to say good morning, now is your time.
Morning, this is Brother Eric. I just want to apologize to the line. I overslept, and thank you for whoever stepped in for me.
Good morning. Amen. It happens. We're human.
Amen.
Thank you, Brother Eric.
Good morning. Hi, everybody.
Good morning.
Hey, Denise. Hey, Juliet. Good morning.
Morning.
Good morning. It's Bernice.
Hi, Cindy and Bernice. Good morning to you. If you're speaking, we can't hear you. You might be double muted.
Good morning,
Deborah Yvonne. Oh, Deborah Yvonne, good morning to you. Anyone else? Any birthdays today? All righty.
Well, if
Tanya, are you making a cake? Because it'll be mine if you are.
Baby, I will make you a cake. What kind you want?
Step it up.
German chocolate, because I fell at the picnic.
There we go.
You'll never let that go.
No.
Long following history.
What you saying?
I say that's the longest fall in history.
Yeah, she bless her heart. We don't want to encourage it. I said, okay, Dee Dee, I'm gonna make you a German chocolate. Anybody else? No fall, no cake request. This is the prayer line. You know, Dee Dee is always going to the left. We're trying to go to the right. She's going to the left.
Good morning. I'd like to thank y'all for the prayer this morning for my family. Thank y'all. May God bless y'all.
Thank you, too, Sister Julia. God bless you for your faithfulness. Okay, well, I think I am going to pass the call on to the walking word. God bless you. Go on and take it. It's in your hands, Lisa.
Amen. Thank you, Tanya. Awesome, awesome woman of God. Good morning, everybody. The declaration was a little bit, I don't want to say sideways, but for me it was a little different. And all together on how God kind of gave it to me, too, it was like just waking up and having the word of discipline. And it was almost like, you talk about that shaking. It was almost like, okay, just wake up. This is the word. And then just go back to sleep. And so that was really kind of a trip, and I didn't even think more about it. But the next day I was like, okay, so what does that mean? And I really didn't start writing down some things until, like, Friday, but it stuck with me. And when that happens, I'm kind of like, okay, God, then if you don't just let something flee, because I don't even remember dreams. I don't remember none of that stuff necessarily. I'm not sure why, but I don't. So if something sticks with me, I'm kind of like, okay, it's for a reason or a purpose, and I just, you know, believe that that's God's way of saying act upon this. So was there anything that was said or shared with the declaration that wasn't clear or needs discussion, or was there someone that would like to make a comment? All right. So,
good morning. Hey, I'm sorry, hey. I couldn't get off mute. Good morning, everybody. I didn't get to
good
say
morning.
Good morning this morning. I call it 3D. That was good stuff. I liked how you how you broke it down. It was definitely a very timely word. Even as I am returning back to work, or return back to work for real this week, and you know, there's a different level of discipline that's required when you work from home. And as I was listening to you, this is my third time, I think, having the ability to work from home or doing some telecommuting, even though I go outside in the field. I remember once upon a time when the Lord gave me this room to work from home, and I couldn't get a disciplined rhythm. And it's a trip how he makes you keep repeating things until you get it right. And so yesterday I was sitting here working, and no different than, you know, having to train yourself to get up in the morning, to get on the call, to be constant. And I think we saw the best example the other day when Katina called after not having called for a year. And, you know, even though she had been away, our discipline was evident, because when she called back, we were here. And so I just thank God for the process. And I thank him for direction in finding discipline. And even as Tanya was praying, she was talking about balance. And discipline has much to do with balance and effective time management. And I remember once upon a time where I would run late for everything. And not even because I had to run late, but just because I didn't have the discipline to do the things necessary to make sure that I was, and I wouldn't say everything, but, you know, for just casual things, I would always be on time for work. But it was like the prioritization of everything didn't have any structure, didn't have any balance. And so sometimes the ball would get dropped. So I just thank God for your word this morning. And I also just wanted to encourage everyone, you know, to thank God for the areas where he is disciplining you. And it is very uncomfortable. However, I can absolutely see the benefit of discipline. And this line is probably the largest example I've experienced. I just want to tell y'all, be encouraged, keep going, and demonstrate discipline. Love y'all.
Amen. Thank you, Dion. Thank you for sharing that. Going to the point of where, no, it is not comfortable. And oftentimes we don't even realize that this is God's doing. We don't even realize that he's chasing us. We don't even realize sometimes that we get off track. We don't even realize a lot of things. But God has a way of lovingly disciplining us to get us back on track. And the beauty of God is he knows us. So he knows what's going to get our attention. The same thing that will get Dion's attention may not get my attention. The same thing that's going to get Tanya's attention or Dee Dee's attention or whomever, because he made us. He knows our frame. He knows where we are. He knows our mindset. He knows. So whatever it is that's going to be required to get our attention, to get us back on track, is what he will do. And he knows exactly how much we can bear. That's the beauty of God. Really never even really thought about that, you know, to that extent. But that's what a loving father, a loving daddy does. Amen. Amen. And it's beneficial. It's going to work for our good. And if we would not fight the process of being chastened, it may not last as long. It may not hurt as bad. I'm just saying. Anybody else?
Lisa, this is Diane.
Yes, ma'am.
I just wanted to share this before I get off the phone because I'm going across the bay today. But that was an awesome, awesome word. And I appreciate it because God is working in my life with discipline. And sometimes it's hard. As far as prayer and staying the word, I'm in the word more all through the day because God has given me a desire to do that. And you got to have a willingness to do it. Even when it don't feel good, getting up 3:00 in the morning to pray before I do anything else and get on the road. It's hard sometimes, but, you know, I ask God before I go to sleep at night to not let me miss my prayer time because I know my prayer time is important and it's something that I have a desire to do because I don't want to get on a call praying for somebody else when my prayer life is raggedy. Mm. So I ask if, you know, God is dealing with me in that area because I want my prayer to be a fervent prayer, a prayer that God honors. And discipline is everything. Your life needs to be disciplined. And if I can be disciplined in the prayer area where it means the most for God's heart to move toward his people, then I feel like I'm being worthy of the calling that God has placed on my life. And I want to be devoted and committed to it. So I ask God to help me with that and to help me be obedient to him. Even when I don't feel like getting up, I want to get 5 or 10 minutes more sleep. That takes precedent over anything, you know, over my sleep. And my sleep means a lot to me. But God means more to me. So I just want to thank you for that word because it is much needed. And we all need to have some type of discipline and balance in our lives in order to serve God in a more effectual way.
Yeah.
And thank you.
Amen. Thank you, Ms. Diane, for always sharing your wisdom with us. You have a soft voice and a quiet voice, and when you speak, it's like we know we need to listen. That's with everyone, but definitely when you speak. So thank you for that. You know, the discipline, and you always share your heart, and you can tell that you love God, you know, and you come from a place where you just want to do what he says. That takes time to get to that place. That takes time to want your desires to be his desires. And to be disciplined in that aspect of praying. And if we're not, we don't realize that it's often disobedience. So if we don't exercise the discipline, this is not to put a yoke on anyone and make you feel bad about what you're not doing, but to make you to make us think about, you know, what can we do to become more disciplined so that we can fulfill the call of God on our lives. And if we know we've been called into intercession, but we can't get up, or we go to sleep early, when will we have the opportunity to do it? While we're in the midst of our day, when we're caught up in stuff around us and there's so much busyness going on, will we really be able to effectively, like, hear from God without the distractions and the noise to intercede? Yes, you can, but how much more when we can be in that quiet place? Early in the morning will I seek you, was the psalmist talks about, and talking about chasing after God and in a dry and weary and a thirsty, desolate land, seeking after him. So thank you, Ms. Diane, for sharing that, because sometimes we don't even realize what's required when God asks us to do something, and we just do the best we can. But I believe these D's was just like God's way of just showing me you need some discipline in life to be dedicated and devoted and determined, no matter what, to do what he's calling me to do. Amen. Anybody else want to share?
Good morning, Sister Lisa.
Good morning, Brother Jeff.
Like it was just said, the desire. I think I heard you mention that in your declaration, the word desire.
Mm-hmm.
And that's one of the reasons why I'm on this prayer call, because I have a desire to have a deeper relationship with Christ, and now that I'm connected with this prayer call, my life is taking on a form of a discipline that I didn't have before. And there's another pastor at our church that always teaches on discipline, and before I set up under his teaching, that was something that I really didn't focus on. I did not focus on discipline, but today, now I'm growing in the area of discipline, and you know, I get on the call every morning at 6 a.m. And many times there's been, and I know many times that it is God that has woken me up in time to get on the call, because I would tell myself, well, I don't have to get up and go to work this morning. I ain't getting up. And I ain't got to go to work. So I tell my wife, if I don't wake up to get on the call, don't wake me up. And the Lord will wake me up. And that tells me that he wants me on this call. And another thing is, like, I'm nosy and I don't want to miss that. You know. So, but I want to say that I recognize the cost in the price that I pay for not being disciplined. The lack of discipline has cost me so much in my years of life that it's oh my goodness. So I need to begin to apply discipline in many areas of my life, because the cost of not being disciplined is too high. I'm looking forward to God getting me unstuck, because a lack of discipline, it causes me to be stuck. Mm-hmm. And I'm tired of being stuck. So, thank you for the declaration. It's right on time this morning.
Amen. Thank you, Sarge, for always sharing and with your input, and just appreciate, you know, how God is just developing all of us, but we see you more and more, and, you know, sharing with us is just so awesome and incredible to hear a male perspective, and you and Brother Eric and Brother Andrew and Marcus and Pastor Lavelle and Timmy's coming back, yay. You know, it's just so awesome to hear your input because, you know, women, we think a certain kind of way, a little bit different than you all. So just thank you for always speaking up. So appreciate you. You talked about the cost. It's incredible how, you know, we look at, we have so many examples of what not to do, and how the children of Israel, because of their disobedience, they suffered a lot. They lost battles. They lost lives. They didn't enter into the promised land. They had to die off, and their children went in. So many things that, as a result of not exercising discipline to simply do, not simply, to do what God has required and asked for us to do, we're going to suffer some consequences, and we don't know what our disobedience is going to cause us to miss out on. That's a thought. You know, maybe it would make us think a little more carefully about what the action we're doing or the behavior is, if it's worth the price we potentially may have to pay. So thinking about what's the worst thing that could possibly happen as a result of doing this, and thank God for his grace and mercy, because oftentimes the worst thing doesn't always happen, but what if we considered the possible worst thing? Are we willing to do whatever it is we're considering for to pay that cost for what might show up? So thank you for reminding. And that's what I was mentioning about, you know, Adam and Eve. If they had known that sin was going to enter into the world, and if they had taken God seriously about his consequence that you will surely die, maybe they were thinking of physical death, I don't know. Maybe they weren't thinking about a separation from him or a spiritual death. If they had known the consequence, do you think they would have, you know, eaten that forbidden fruit? Do you think they would have disobeyed? And then we can't even be hard on them, because if they hadn't done it, somebody at some point in time would have done it. One of us, if it had gotten this far, 2,000 years later plus. I'm just thinking about that. So thank you. Anyone else want to share?
Good morning, Lisa. It's Miss D.
Hey, Miss D. And God bless you for your service and walking last night.
Oh, amen. I didn't walk that much, but I got to be out there. You know, when about 3 weeks ago the Lord checked me on my words and the way I spoke, and we had a discussion on it here on the call, but the discipline that came along with him bringing it to my awareness was really sometimes I have to just put my hand over my mouth and just to be quiet, and learning and practicing listening more has become very relevant for me. Thank you, God. It's become very relevant for me to speak words that build versus words that tear up, even just be really careful. And when he talked to me about it, he led me to the scriptures that talked to me and told me that I would be responsible for every spoken word and think the behaviors I performed and how it's affected people. But in that last day when I stand before him, I will be held accountable, and that shook me to my core. So for the past few weeks, I mean, in the middle of a sentence, I will stop talking because I can hear his voice saying, just told you about that mouth. You know, watch that tone. You don't need to say that. And it's been going on, and I'm thankful that I'm getting this lesson today. And, you know, a lot that I've heard on the prayer call we've talked about, and I take each one of these declarations, and it's something that come out of every one of them that just stays with me and keeps me consciously alert as to how I carry myself, how I interact. And it's been a blessing because I've been growing a lot in my personal walk. You know, it's not what the world sees, it's what's going on internally that's reflecting in my own process. And I'm thankful, and thank you for this word this morning, because my heart desires to be a disciple maker as well as a full disciple for Christ. And change isn't easy. When I got to this age I'm at now, who would have thought I'd have been still being called on some stuff I didn't think, you know, I hadn't thought about it. And so my family had been saying things for years I was not paying attention to. But when God speaks, I'm learning to listen and be responsive a lot quicker than I was when I was younger. Yeah, that's my thing right there now. It's kind of being able to be aware of what I speak and what I say, and know that everything I think doesn't need to be said, because I have some thoughts that have come up that I'm glad I didn't say. And I was sitting with my daughter yesterday, and we were in a conversation, and I noticed that she kept saying, "I just need you to listen." And I know that's a cue for me not to say anything one way or the other, just to be there and be still. When in the past, I probably wouldn't have heard that. And as soon as she got finished talking, I would have had something to say, which means I really wasn't listening because I was thinking about my response to her. So thank you again for that declaration on discipline. And self-discipline is necessary, because there's not always someone around to discipline and instruct us outside of whether we're hearing Christ enough to stop ourselves in our tracks. So thank you if that made any sense this morning. Thank you so much for that declaration.
Amen. Amen. Bless you, Ms. D. It made plenty of sense, as you always do. It's something how when you shared your declaration on, you know, our tongues, and I believe you did that in setting that guard, you know, over our mouths like a gate. And then when you talked about, you know, about to say something, but being able to kind of arrest the word, put it on lockdown before it falls out, because the unfortunate truth about our words that we speak is that we can't take them back. And do we always mean them? Out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, and we want to say it. But sometimes I think we come with intentional daggers, or intentional want to be heard, or intentional, you know, get someone straight. So isn't that something? Or we're even in our purest sense trying to help someone, but like you said, being able to hear that person, all they want you to do is listen, because they want to be heard at that point. So that's so awesome that, you know, God is just showing us how to exercise discipline. And I didn't even think about this. You know, I always think about discipline like in trying to lose weight, because that's one of my major issues. Isn't it amazing that we can be disciplined, so disciplined in some areas, and lack discipline in other areas altogether? Can anybody identify with that? Can I just get a yes? Because I know it's true.
Yes.
Thank you. Okay, great. Thank you. Right. We can be so disciplined in one area, like maybe calling in every morning. Thanks, Tanya. Every single morning on this call, so disciplined and committed and devoted to it. But is this what we're really devoted to? Are we really committed and disciplined and devoted to God and intercession? Because it goes beyond the showing up. Once we show up, and then as Diane talked about, how we're showing up. Are we showing up raggedy and, you know, with a mask on, basically, and not even prepared, and we hadn't even talked to God before we just jump in the call and start interceding on other people's behalf? Something to think about, you know, that discipline spills over into every single area of our lives that is just required in our speech, in our faith walk, in trying to diet, in trying to earn a degree, in doing something and doing it well with excellence and succeeding in that. Anyone
else?
Yes,
good morning, Lisa. This is Ollie.
Hey, Ollie, good morning.
I don't know. I have to share. As you know, I had my mother and father for a long time until they was in their 90s, and they was married 70-some years, so it was always discipline as a child, and you took me back to my childhood and thinking about how we always was disciplined, and just watching my parents, they was kind of my role models. I mean, I used to watch my mother always talk to herself, and I said, "Mom, who are you talking to?" She said, "Her father." And I said, "Well, your father lived in Louisiana." She said, "No, my heavenly father." I said, "No, he lived in Louisiana, Mama." And then later on, I got on what she said, and I said, "Oh, he's my father also." You know, even though I had my daddy here on earth, But I always watch them, just like my mother and father. If they see somebody needed some shoes for school, they would get out and go buy them. And so as a child, I've been very disciplined. And then another word I used to hear from my parents was sacrifice. You have to sacrifice. And so just like the other morning, I took my walk, Jamila, with Amelia, her first day of kindergarten, and we went in. And then the teacher wanted some of the parents to take some material home to separate them and help out with the class. So Jamila said, well, Mom, you could go and I'll walk home. And I said, okay, Jamila. I said, are you going to carry those boxes home? She said, what do you mean? I said, didn't you hear? You wasn't listening. They want you to take it home. Not do it here. And so the word listening, because I'm always quiet, and I try to listen to, because with my disability, dyslexia, I try to listen to what you say. But Lisa, I really enjoy every declaration you do, and everybody on this prayer line, I thank you, declare victory for this line. But I just don't know what else to say. Yes, even as a kid, my father used to take us to work, and we have to save some of our money. He let us spend some, but he always made us save a little bit of it. Mm-hmm. And then me and my brother always had to put our savings account together. And I used to tell my daddy and mom, I said, my brother is spending my money. I don't think this is fair. Can I have my own savings? Mm-hmm. So they did let us have our own savings, but you have to sacrifice and discipline and listen to God. And my mother always used to put us down at nighttime and pray with Matthew 6:9, our Father, you know, with our in heaven, the whole prayer over and over and over until we learned it. So I just thank y'all for everything on this prayer line. Thank you, Lisa.
Amen. We're so glad you're here, Ali. I know a few people's antennas went off because we've been trained to listen to the words that come out of our mouths as well as being trained to watch the words that come out of our mouths. And somebody heard you say, my disability. And my dyslexia and taking ownership of something that I understand we're not admitting that it's not there. We're not saying that, but taking ownership of something that we know that God is able to deliver us from. We have to be careful what we say, because when we take ownership of something, it becomes who we are. And so I know somebody's antenna because they were listening to what you said went off. So we just really have to be careful with that.
And I try not to use it as a, you know. Yeah, that's why I don't
drink
a lot, but I just
want to
make sure.
Yes, somebody making groceries.
So Miss Ali, don't apologize. We just want to train. We just want to help you because I was one of the ones my antennas went up. We just want to encourage you. We want to encourage you to keep speaking because you have something to say, because you have value, because you have worth, you have good nuggets. But we want to hear. We don't want to hear that my whatever that is. That we don't believe that is yours. It is something that has shown up, but it's not yours. It's not yours.
Not mine.
It's not yours. Don't claim it as yours anymore. That you could call it that thing, that challenge. You could give it a. Don't say it's mine. Don't put it on.
Okay.
That's all we can say.
But okay,
don't you stop calling and talking. You have to talk.
Okay.
Yes,
do I get a 7-Up pick if I don't say it again?
Oh, my God. Wow. For real, Holly? Okay, get it, and then I'm going to come get half. You bring it to church. No.
I'm going to go on mute. Nobody else ask me for another cake.
You started that, Dee Dee Tanya cake stuff. Amen.
I want it from scratch. I don't want no scratch 7-Up cake from scratch.
Amen.
I don't think you can make a 7-Up cake from the box. I don't think you can. I think you have to make it from scratch. Anyway, whatever.
You know, some people try to substitute and do everything.
Box cake and put some 7-Up in it. Okay, that's another declaration.
That sounds like a horrific mess.
Amen. Yes, thank you, Ms. Ali, for always sharing, too, and opening up your mouth. And you know what? The thing is, what I thought about, because I know you personally, and I've seen you, so no one would know you had that except you open your mouth and tell somebody that. that's the thing about it, you know. Nobody would even have known that. So praise God anyway. So therefore, it's not even, you know, it doesn't even belong to you. So enough said about that. Listening, making sacrifices. Sacrifices didn't start with a D, so it didn't show up in the declaration. But it's so necessary when we're in the mode of discipline, because discipline is going to require us to stay consistent. It's going to require us to do some things that are uncomfortable. And I'm not talking about being disciplined. I'm talking about exercising discipline in our lives. For whatever it is that we want to accomplish, if you want to get a degree, you're going to have to be disciplined enough to complete the courses, to show up for class on a regular, consistent basis. Otherwise, we're not going to obtain the ultimate goal. It's going to mean sacrificing some time that you would have spent maybe doing something else, hanging out with your friends, sometimes family, because there's an ultimate goal, you know. So you can't sacrifice family, so you got to cut out some of the other things. It might be the gym, I don't know, but you find another way to get the exercise in. If you're going to have to park further away from the, you know, building or do whatever, you're going to have to make time to not sacrifice the important things. People are should not be sacrificed unless God is telling you to let them go, especially family. But making sacrifices that, you know, it might be Facebook, like Tanya was talking about, or the television, which for the most part is not beneficial unless God is letting you use that for ministry. So those are things we could definitely sacrifice as a way of showing discipline. Every Wednesday we fast. Well, sometimes not every Wednesday. Some people may not do that every Wednesday. But for the most part, every Wednesday we are fasting. We do. We have a fast day. Wait while you wait. That requires a sacrifice. Now, if you're sacrificing food, or you're, that's which is really what a fast is, but if you're sacrificing or giving up something that's dear to you for the sake of someone else, so we're sacrificing killing our flesh and causing it to die to an extent where it does no longer control our actions, not being led by our emotions to, I got to eat, I got to eat, I got to eat. Being able to deny that requires discipline. And that's why in our prayer oftentimes we say, God, honor our sacrifice. As you exercise discipline, the more you exercise it, at least for me in my life, it is not as difficult. I'm not saying it's not difficult still in some areas, but it is not as difficult. And that's been my experience.
Hey, can I just jump in? Oh, go ahead.
No, you go ahead, and then there was a mail and after that. So, yeah, go ahead.
You know, I just wanted to share that, you know, the sacrifice, as you talked about the fasting, there are absolutely days I do not want to fast.
Right.
So I don't want to.
Yeah.
But I realize that's the day that I absolutely need to, because I don't want to. And it is so funny that you say there are absolutely areas in our life, not funny, but ironic. And the truth of the matter is that there are absolute areas where I'm disciplined. I do things like clockwork. Mm-hmm. And I was telling Dion one morning, I was like, you know, I'm going to just have a normal day today. I'm not doing nothing. I'm going to stay in the bed and rest my body, or I'm gonna actually watch television. But it's a bunch of, oh, my God. There's so many reality shows. And if it's not a reality show, it is a television show where there is just, I don't know if I'm changing or if it just seems like it's a waste of energy to watch it, but, you know, with either the language or the things that are being portrayed on television, it just grieves my spirit. I'm not trying to be all deep or whatever, but it just seems like it's such a waste of time, you know, to watch it. But I wanted to point that out. Even, you know, and I know Dion and Dee Dee and other people can attest to this. You know, we've been saved for a while, and there are absolute times where we don't want to, like there are times when I just don't really want to study either. You know, I'd rather just do nothing, or I'd rather, I don't know, find something else to do. I mean, it is natural. And what we're doing, that is a part of the sacrifice. That is a part of crucifying the flesh, as we talk about. I know it sounds like, how would you mean crucify the flesh? Saying no to my flesh that wants to do something to satisfy itself is a way of crucifying, killing
the flesh. Not that we are dying or committing suicide, but we are saying, no, you are going to do this. You are going to be subject to what I want you to do. You, flesh, you don't control me. Because if we allow the flesh to be controlled in a small area and dictate to us, before you know it, it'll control and dictate to us in so many other areas. So that's why we die daily to our flesh. Thank you.
Amen. So that we're not out of control. Exercising discipline. Amen. Thank you, Tanya. There was a man that wanted to share, and then I have something I want to have a comment. Go ahead. Who was that?
Yes, Lisa, this is Andrew. I wanted to mention group discipline.
Mm.
The Bible is replete with examples of what happens when that goes wrong. You mentioned Adam and Eve. That's the first and best example. Then we have the Battle of Ai, when Achan hid a gold wedge, where
right.
when they went to Jericho, everything that was taken was prey of the Lord. They weren't supposed to keep anything,
mm-hmm.
and he did. But when they went up against Ai, men died because of his sin, who had nothing to do with Achan. In Israel, when Satan moved against David and convinced him to number the people, God sent an angel. Well, first God sent Nathan to him, and Nathan said, "Thus saith the Lord, basically, pick your chastisement, you know, because you sinned against God." Back in Leviticus, when the people would be numbered, God said every man had to pay half a shekel. The poor wouldn't pay less, the rich wouldn't pay more. And David didn't collect any tribute for that. He just had them, you know, take a census. Well, basically, God sent an angel down to kill the people. And he let David see them doing that. And so because of David's sin, not being disciplined, not reining it in, you know, men died. One of Israel's main facets of their economy was agriculture. Okay, so if the weather didn't cooperate, you didn't have pasture for your flocks, and every, you know, sheep, being a shepherd was a big business because everybody needed sheep for sacrifices. And the vineyards and the olive trees, if you didn't get enough rain, things got bad. And then when the people sinned against the Lord, you know, droughts came. You know, the locusts would come and eat up the crops. The enemy would come and get you right around harvest time. And so what I say that to say this, when we win souls for Christ and we bring people into the church crying out, "What must I do to be saved?" and we get them in the fold, a lot of times the disciplined ones around them sort of like let them go and run on autopilot. As long as they're coming to Bible study on Wednesday night, as long as they make it to Sunday school, you know, they're on the way. Because you can't live this in one day, and you can't serving, you know, at that 100% level, you know, until you know. So there's a learning curve that you have to abide by. But in that process, a lot of times they get off the straight and narrow, and they have to be taught how to live holy. This is not intuitive because we're flesh, and the flesh is, you know, when the flesh is stronger than your spirit, the flesh is going to have sway. We need to reverse that ratio. But somebody needs to take you and show you. That's why the Bible says the older women should counsel the younger women. The older men should counsel the younger men. So both are disciplined. Both understand what God expects of them and the steps it's going to take, you know, before you start the race. Before you start the project, you count the cost. They're going to know what it's going to take to live a life that's pleasing to the Lord so that they're blessed, and not just them being blessed. The whole group isn't, you know, chastised for some of their mistakes or missteps. Because that's why we see a lot of churches with no power in their community.
Mm-hmm. Amen. Amen, Brother Andrew. You said a lot. You know, the last thing you made me think about, you know, is the churches. The church direction is often a reflection of the leader. And if the leader's not exercising discipline, it's really hard to instruct other people, his congregation, the sheep, to exercise that discipline. And so things become out of order. Without discipline, things are in disorder. There's some disobedience as you look at the group. That's awesome, because really the whole group is a reflection. We're the body of Christ, and the world is looking at us in totality. They may have never seen me, but because I call myself a Christian, their experiences with other Christians has really tainted their view about me. Even though they haven't seen my walk, they haven't seen, you know, what I've been doing, they don't even know me, and don't know that I'm living to the best of my ability for Christ. But because they've seen some other Christians who aren't as devoted, as dedicated, as determined at this point in their lives and in their walk, it's given a bad name, if you will. So they use that as an excuse to not want to come in or to talk about the church. But I am a firm believer that still God knows where we are. He knows who's going to come in anyway. It's just a matter of time before that person's eyes are open to the truth of the gospel. But what kind of name, what kind of legacy, what kind of representation or representatives or ambassadors are we being for Christ as a group, as a body of believers? I was thinking about Tanya. You know, it's funny how we watch people or we hear people's conversation and we look at someone's discipline, and it inspires us. So when Tanya's on her treadmill in the morning, that really, I think about it, and it does something to me. You know, when she's out of breath and she's talking and she got to get her comment in. And whether she goes every morning, in my mind, she's disciplined and showing up. And just like she said, some mornings she may not go, but she makes that decision because maybe she doesn't feel like it, but she goes anyway, because the end results are far more beneficial than not doing what she has made up her mind to do. So we never know what we're doing, and our act of obedience to be disciplined in an area is affecting someone else. Because you go to church every Sunday morning and you show up, and you do whatever it is, whether you're standing at the door, whether you're leading praise and worship, whether you're singing in the choir, whether you're ministering, whatever it is that you're doing, because you show up every time you're supposed to be there, you're inspiring someone else to show up. Amen. Think about that.
Amen.
Amen. We don't even realize it. People are watching us. They really are watching our lives. And every now and then you'll hear it, because God will make the connection and they'll open their mouths and they'll say something. And we have no idea what kind of impact we're making. So to the best of our ability, this is not to put pressure on ourselves, but this is something that God told us to do, walk circumspectly, to really take a look at our walk. And that requires discipline. To not let our good be evil spoken of, that requires discipline, doing it over and over and over again. And when we fall short, getting up and doing it over and over and over again. And we will fall short, but doing it over and over and over again, we know what it takes. Yep.
You know, in my days of network marketing, and this is, I don't put network marketing down. I think it's an amazing opportunity for people. But in the training that we got, I'll never forget hearing some of the top producers talk about it's doing the mundane. People look at, and so I'm going to connect this, people look at folks that are successful and think that there's some cuts, not everybody, but sometimes we live in this fantasy that says, oh, there's something magic about them. There is something, you know, or they were just lucky, or they got where they are because they know a lot. It's their education. Well, it's not true. It's the fact that they live disciplined lives. Now, every successful person is not saved. You know, you can have discipline in your life without being saved. If you look at bodybuilders, if you look at actors, there's a measure of anything worth having, these people have worked for. And what they've done is, if you cross the spectrum, what they've done is they've exercised discipline in their life. So going back to being at some of these trainings, I'll never forget, there's a gentleman by the name of Danny Bay. Korean who came to this country, did not speak a lick of English, and he learned to speak English, conversational English, but he watched people, and he learned to do the same thing over and over and over and over and over until he perfected it. And then it became a part of his life. I'm talking about the discipline of the business that he was learning. And he fine-tuned his craft. It wasn't because he was lucky. It wasn't because he was educated, because he came to the United States and learned to speak English here. It was because he exercised discipline. Mm-hmm. It was because he learned the business. It was because he learned to do what they said. And so if a person can take a principle like that to become, and now he's wealthy. He doesn't, like, he loves God with all his heart. He's a born-again believer. But I guess the point that I'm making is that it takes discipline in every aspect of our lives, and it's not something it's the doing the mundane stuff. And doing it well. And making a decision that I don't feel like getting on a treadmill every single day. But I do it because there's an end result that I'm looking for. What's your end result? If you stop focusing on what you're doing today and what it looks like today and what the end result is, you'll do it.
Yes. Amen. Even while you're telling yourself to do it. While you're doing it, you're doing it. So I was talking to my girlfriend. Thank you, Tanya. This reminds me. I walked 4 miles yesterday, and I was telling my girlfriend, I went to meet her, and I was saying, she walks around this lake kind of an area, and one time around is a mile. And I was like, oh, I can't do that 4 times around because that's just boring around the same thing. I said, that's almost like walking around a track 4 times, one time being a mile. If you had to do that 12 times to get 4, I would never be able to do that. I'm already talking myself out of it, right, trying to see like, oh, that's just boring, like you said, mundane, around and around and around. But before you knew it, we started walking, while I was running my mouth and saying that, we were doing it. And then by the third lap, I was like, oh, it's not so bad, because we had excellent conversation and, you know, the scenery was beautiful. But you're right, it's in those little mundane, not even realizing, starting off as a novice. We may start off complaining, but just do it. And as we start off as a novice, a new person in that thing, we hone the skills and become experts before you know it. So then you can go and you can teach someone else, but without exercising the discipline to stay the course and learn the course, to learn whatever it is that's set before us, then we can go, because now we've developed some skills. Now we can go and we can teach that to someone else who might have been struggling or dealing with the same area, and that's in every aspect of our lives. That's what I was thinking about this as I was writing. I was like, wow, discipline is so necessary, not just in studying, because that's what we always think about, or not just in dieting, that's what we always think about, but in so many other areas that's worth obtaining anything, or that's going to produce a return on the investment, if you will. It just made me really think about that. So hopefully somebody else on the call today is thinking about, you know, exercising discipline in some areas where we thought we couldn't, that we can never do something, that all it requires is us showing up and being consistent. And it might be rocky, and it might be rough, and it might be mundane, and it might seem difficult, but if we keep showing up, Dion says it all the time. We talk about it. We'll win if we don't quit. Ultimately, bottom line, if you're not looking in your situation and you're looking above, then you're able to press. So as I was not looking at the path we were on, but enjoying the moment, it was amazing how the track seemed, or that course didn't seem so boring as I thought it would be. But if I had listened to myself, I would have been like, I ain't doing this. This is not going to be doing something else. Right? And I would have missed out on that exercise that my heart and my body so desperately needs.
Hey, Lisa. Mm-hmm. Cassandra.
Yeah. Hey, Cassandra.
How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Great declaration. I was thinking about what you were saying in reference to discipline. I was thinking, so being disciplined, why are we disciplined in one area and not disciplined in this area but not disciplined in that area.
Mm-hmm.
And what it comes down to that I'm finding is where my desires, where my wants, and where my needs are.
Mm-hmm.
Like for us to get on a call and listen in and speak up every day, I'm disciplined in that because my greatest desire is to get to a certain place with God.
Mm-hmm.
So it makes me disciplined in that area because I have a strong desire. I have a strong need in that area. So
mm-hmm.
for me, I like to eat, right?
So
even though I want to, you know, lose some weight, have my pounds go down,
mm-hmm.
my discipline in that area is sometimes lacking because my desire or my greater need is to eat, taste the food, taste it going down my throat, because that's when I think
enjoy
about it.
I
make a decision every day.
Mm-hmm.
So do you want to eat a salad, eat some light, eat some chicken or some salmon? Or do you want to eat that delicious cake, the Snicker, the M&M's, to get to the point where you want to go? That's because in my discipline and my desire, right now my desire is, I want the cake, I want the hamburger. So that means is my desire more so to lose weight? Was my desire to enjoy the food that I'm eating. So obviously for me right now, and I vacillate between it, my desire is to enjoy the food. But when my desire is, and sometimes there's drivers, like, you know, I might get a diagnosis of diabetes or something, say, well, you have to lose weight. Well, then my greatest desire
mm-hmm.
is no longer the taste of the food. My desire is to live. So that cake and those cookies, it doesn't even mean anything to me because I'm disciplined now because my greatest desire is to live. And so like what Tanya was saying, that she gets up and exercises every day because her desire, her need, her want is to take care of her body and to look good so she's able to be disciplined in that area. So I said all that to say wherever our desire is, that's where our discipline is, where our want and where our need is. We make a decision every day
mm-hmm.
about what we want and what we desire. And in that, that's where our discipline comes in.
Yes, I agree wholeheartedly. You got to look at, too, what I was thinking about is our determination, you know, and our devotion and our dedication to a thing. Because why do we have to wait for another D, the diagnosis? Before we get motivated. Yeah, right. Why do we have to wait for that before it becomes the priority and now important? It makes it no more important in the grand scheme of things before we get the diagnosis how we're treating our bodies. But now to us it becomes more important because we're faced with something. And so that goes back to what Tanya said too about not looking at where we are, because if we're looking at where we are, we're fine because we don't have a diagnosis now. Right? So we can eat what we want. We can eat and drink and be merry on a spiritual level. That's the same thing that Scripture talks about. We're just consumed with what's going on with us right now, that many of us are not living with glory in mind. We're not living with a view of our final destination. We're consumed with what's going on. So many people in the world, they're just like, hey, the Lord Jesus Christ ain't coming right now. He's delaying his coming. Some people take his his delay in coming as him being slack on his promise to come back, which he is not. And so we're living any kind of life.
And then I like
that made
what,
me think about so many things.
I like what Tanya said, too, which is like, you know, you have like, it's my mantra for this month, this season. She said, "In result, but my mantra for this month is like, you know, what's your end game? I mean,
you
in your discipline, wherever you're disciplining yourself or not disciplining yourself, what's your end game? What do you see yourself in 3 months, 6 months, in a year? Does it line up what your end game is? If you don't have a vision of what your end game is, then it's going to be hard for you to discipline yourself." But if your end game is to be at a certain point, to be a certain person, to have a different mind of thought, to change things in your life, like you were saying, you can't think of the now. It's like, what is the end result that you're thinking about? What is your end game? How do you see this ending up? So when I think about, I want this cheeseburger, french fries, and a shake,
mm-hmm.
it's like, Cassandra, where do you see yourself in a year and in 2 years? Well, I don't think I see myself where I want to see myself, but then I have to change my end game.
Well, you know we're contending with the flesh, though, because we're lovers of flesh and lovers of pleasure more than we are lovers of God to a large extent. So we want, the flesh wants to be pleased. The flesh wants to be happy. The flesh wants to be in the now and eat the cheeseburger and then go and try to run a mile to get it off. I'm just saying. Okay, I'm sorry. I'm speaking about myself. I'm sorry. It's about me. It's about me. Right, not thinking long term, not thinking how is this really going to affect me beyond the temporary pleasure of now. In anything, this is not just in eating, getting somebody told and telling somebody off so that we can feel better right now, but it's tearing them down because we have death and life and the power of our tongue. And then later the Holy Spirit convicts us and say we shouldn't have said that, like Ms. D was talking about, setting that guard so we don't have to go and apologize. We'll have to say everything we think. We talked about that before. I know that's come up on the call. Everything that comes in our mind, thank God, everything that comes in my mind doesn't spill out. Oh, Jesus.
Ooh. Lisa.
Okay. Hello. Yes.
Hi, it's Cindy. I'm sorry. Hey. I kind of dozed off, but. Hey, I just while everybody's talking, it just made me think. I don't know if somebody said it. Like I said, I dozed off, but just having discipline to me, having discipline to me, I think having discipline causes us to be accountable as well.
Yes.
So I think that kind of goes hand in hand. I don't have any examples or anything, but it just when I think about discipline, I think about accountability.
Yeah. Right. Thank you, Lady Cindy. That was me and my girlfriend walking around, you know, that seemingly mundane course that we were going on. But because she was there with me, because she had been doing this and she had been successful in this, she was there to help me be able to at least, if I wanted the opportunity, to be motivated by her encouragement. Right? And it turns out that we were just walking and talking and it was just totally fine. And I thought I was going to slow her up because she's taller than I am and she's been doing this for a while. But we finished the same time she normally finishes anyway after 4 miles. And I was like, okay, well, hey, man. There's a lesson in everything that we go through. And we need each other. We do.
Mm-hmm.
Like I said, being motivated by somebody else's success in an area or just their discipline to do it motivates other people. So that's some accountability, too. And then hooking up with somebody and saying, you know what, my mouth got the best of me today, you know. And that person to not be there to condemn us, but to really help us say, okay, well, what could we have done differently, you know. Was the Holy Spirit there convicting you and telling you don't and you overrode it? Because he does that. He leads and guides us into all truth. He is there to direct us. Amen. So that's why we yoke ourselves up, not with somebody that's going to go along with our foolishness. Because there's people out there like that, and we know them. But we're not talking about them that's going, you told her, you show, you know, girl, you, no, no. Not what we're looking for. We want somebody that's going to help us to get to the final destination, really to stand before him and that he would say, well done. That should be our ultimate goal. The small things along the way, the small successes, the small triumphs. And another thing, thank you, Lady Cindy, when Cassandra was talking and we were talking about the end game, if your end game has a wrong motive, like I want to just lose weight to be cute or whatever, and that's okay. If that's your motive, that's fine. But look at whatever discipline it took to get there is going to be the same discipline required to maintain. Got to say that again. Whatever discipline, and no matter what it is, weight, the job, the mate, whatever it is, whatever discipline that it took to get that position, get that person, get whatever it is going to be the same discipline required, if not more, or a different type, but still required discipline to maintain that thing. I can't go on my diet, change my eating, exercise, get to my goal weight, and then stop it all. Been there, done that. It will come right back. That's just the most visual example I can give you, the most visual example I can give, because I know other people have done that.
Lisa, this is Julia.
Hi, Julia.
I'm just letting you know that I'm cooking your favorite dish this morning.
You bringing me some today?
You know what I'm talking about, huh?
Are you coming to the church?
No,
see, discipline, what is it? There will be temptation in the midst of discipline. Thank you, Julia. There will be temptation in the midst of discipline. That was perfect, really.
Perfect.
I wasn't thinking about that, but that was perfect. There will be some temptation in the midst of discipline. So what? The other D's have to kick in. Our desire, our delighting in him, our decision, our determination, our desperation, our devotion, the dedication, those other D's, they have to kick in. Amen.
And we got to be disciplined on this water since I've been praying for water 6 months ago, and I'm still praying for water, Lisa.
Amen. While we're in the midst of the drought, making sure you're drinking your water, as it's so hot out there and we have to stay hydrated. Another D, dehydration will lead to devastation.
Yes,
it will. It will. It will cause all kinds of problems.
I was also thinking about, we were in reference to the end game, and when you're trying to be, your goal is to be disciplined, in reference to a game, just using like a football analogy.
Mm-hmm.
Most times when we're trying to reach a goal or be disciplined in an area, we have to go back and know what inhibits us or stops us from being disciplined, so or reaching that goal or reaching that end game. So for sports, like for athletes, what they do is they go over, like if they were trying to be disciplined in one area to reach a goal in one area, they go back and they review the tapes and they talk to their coaches, and their coaches say, okay, what happened here, you know, and they evaluate it and say, okay, this happened, I was not disciplined in this area, didn't happen in this area because of this. So a lot of times for us, if our goal is to be disciplined in the area, we have to go back and reflect and review and see what happened and then move forward beyond that toward our goal. But you got to go back and look. Like you said, it's like a day-by-day thing, and you have to maintain it. But to maintain it, you have to be honest with yourself and say, okay, this is where I'm lacking in this area. This is where I need help in this area. But being conscious of what your end game is in order to be disciplined. But you have to be honest, you know, honest with yourself, to be defensive as well as offensive to be able to reach your goal.
Absolutely. Going and looking at the playback. That's awesome. Thank you, Cassandra. That reminds me of Ms. D talking about being introspective, you know, and always looking at ourselves and looking, okay, we're often told to examine ourselves to see if we're in the faith. So are we meeting the mark? Not the mark set by the world, really the mark that's set by the Word to the best of our ability. Like I said, it's not to put a yoke of bondage on anyone or to make someone like, oh, I'm not lining up. No, but that comes with the relationship that we have with God, with Christ. Then we are, okay, so now the desire is to do the best in our within our ability by the power of the Holy Spirit, who is there to really equip us, to give us what we need. He's already given us the tools. He's the one that's able to keep us from falling. If it was without him, we'd fall. Done. But because he's able to keep us from falling, because he's able to keep us, we have to have the desire to want to be kept. We have to have the desire and the discipline to just do what's necessary, to do what's required. And going back and seeing, okay, I maybe, you know, this sounds so stupid. I won't say stupid. This sounds simple, if you will, that, okay, you would think that everyone would know that going over to a man's house as a single woman really, really late at night, and this man is someone I've been intimate with, that if I do that and I keep doing that, that that's where I end up engaging, because it's not a slip, it was intentional. I ended up engaging in sex, right? So if I don't ever stop and realize that I can't keep putting myself in that position, and that's what keeps leading me to making that decision to go forth in that area, then that will never, ever be like a red flag to me. Although God has been showing us all along that it was, it will never be a red flag to me for me to change my behavior.
Get your chastity belt.
Come on, well... Get on lock. It doesn't even have to be that. If I can't, my thing is getting home late at night and eating. when I get in from church late at night as I'm on the road. If I make a decision to pass that refrigerator, or if I don't keep junk in my house, I won't have it available. So those temptations, that goes back to those temptations that will come to interfere with our discipline, that will come to you doing good on Wednesday, you made up your mind to fast, you didn't forget it was a fast day, and you get to the office and the boss brought donuts and he's treating everybody to lunch. There's a temptation. What decision will we make? We've been doing good at work, showing up on time, whatever it is. We've been doing good, and all of a sudden, here's an opportunity. And we don't even realize, because the enemy's often subtle, that it's a distraction to get us off of discipline and to really divert us from destiny, that we just take a bite, and before you know it, we're looking back like, dang, how did I get off course, and how did I get here? A little bitty crack. It often starts with a little crack that blows the door wide open. And then we have to start all over. Thank God we get an opportunity to start all over. But we don't know when grace and mercy will end. So we don't want to play with it and take it for granted either. Amen. Anyone else? Thank you all for your comments and the discussion. Thinking about discipline, where in your life, I want to leave you with this, where in your life, because you're mastering some things well, like calling in every day and opening up your mouth and sharing, but where in your life is there an area where you can exercise more discipline? And then once you identify that area, then think about those D's, being devoted and having that desire towards it and really delighting to please God in that area and being determined and dedicated to it, trying to exercise those D's, but making a conscious effort of it. So many things that we are disciplined in has become routine for us. They're not necessarily mundane. They're just what we do. But examining now, you know, maybe the motive behind what it is. And if we're really successful, thank you, Cassandra, if we're really successful and disciplined in a certain area, how can we apply that same discipline, what's driving us in that area of discipline, how can we apply that to another area in our lives where we may be lacking? Amen. Anyone else have anything? Amen. Praise God. Well, I hope this discussion has caused us to think. I believe that this is just an area where God is just, you know, wanting to refine us as well. So I thank God for your time and attention. Tanya, I'll turn it back over to you as the host, the hostess. Excuse me. Are you still there? Amen. She might have had to get off. Well, praise God. Thank you all for calling in. I pray that today your Saturday will be great, that God will do something supernatural in your life, and you'll absolutely know without a shadow of a doubt that it is Him, and that He'll give you opportunities to see in your life where you can exercise, where we can exercise more discipline. So don't forget to be the Jesus that somebody needs to see today. We love you, and we'll talk to you tomorrow at 6 in the morning. Have a wonderful day.
Have a blessed day.
Amen. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
Free car show at X.